Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice, on the web at wileymanager.com. All right, welcome back to another Wiley Manager Podcast. And Bob, on today's podcast, we're going to talk about scatter diagrams.
Yeah, we thought we'd put everybody to sleep and do some stats.
Do you have some viewer mail for us before we get into our stats course?
We do. Somebody called Rather Be Fly Fishing from Canada. So, which is a good thing to do if you're from Canada. Great business podcast, a must listen for managers and leaders wanting to improve their skills. So that came to us via iTunes. So thank you for that feedback. We particularly like it when it's on iTunes because we have no ability to control it.
Took some time out from his fly fishing to comment on our podcast. That's
yeah,
great.
That was mighty good of him.
I wonder if he listens to the podcast while fly fishing.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to really screw up your leisure activities.
All right, let's talk agenda. So scatter diagrams, how's the agenda look for today?
Okay, well, we'll talk about how and why you should use this nutty thing called a scatter diagram. So those that have some business training probably had to do this in business school and hated it.
Haven't done it since.
Haven't had to do it since, right? So do I have to go and dust off this from my old, unless you're a stats nerd, much like myself, that actually finds this kind of stuff, you know, I get a bit charged up by this. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to talk about how and why you'd want to use this. Then we'll talk about two. There's lots of different ways you can use scatter diagrams. I'm going to specifically talk about two ways to use scatter diagrams. We'll talk about the different types of correlations. Then we'll give you a quick how-to. And we promise that we won't make you relive your stats course that you barely stayed awake for in undergraduate school. And then, as always, we'll leave people with three things to remember.
All right, well, let's talk first about why we should bother considering using scatter diagrams, because if people don't have a reason to use them, they can stop listening to the podcast after that.
See, this is what we like to do, chase people away from the podcast. Yeah, so I'm going to talk specifically about both these things in more detail, but really the reason you'd want to use this is one is that it's a great way to demonstrate or refute cause and effect, right? So if you're trying to figure out, is this related to this, a scatter diagram can quickly and easily help you do that. And second of all, it can be used for predictive action. How's that, huh? We can tell the future.
I think you better tell us a bit more about how, or maybe give us a more realistic idea of how this might get you. So I know you got a few examples. Maybe talk us through those. We'll have a better idea as to why these things are helpful.
Okay. So, and these are real examples. So those that are following along with the video will be able to see at this point, this is an actual diagram, Jed. I scrubbed the data so I wouldn't self-identify where this came from, but nevertheless, this is actual data that came from one of my clients. They were trying to figure out whether how closely related the use of a piece of equipment, the availability in a piece of equipment, was to their production. So you're in a great big widget factory and you've got multiple machines.
Yep.
Okay. So, and oftentimes these machines operate in different ways. And you think, well, that machine there is my bottleneck, or that machine there is the reason that I make or not make production. Mm-hmm. Well, interestingly, if you grab your stats, that can either prove or disprove your assumption that these things are related. So that's exactly what these guys did. They said, okay, well, we have this one machine. We think that this is the machine that has the biggest impact on production. So we tracked it for 30 days. So there's 30 data points on this thing, this diagram that you may or may not be looking at. So for those that are perhaps listening in their cars, what I've got here is I've got a graph with a horizontal and a vertical axis, and then I got dots pretty much all over the page.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's scattered, it's like the name of the thing.
Hence the name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. See, my stats professor is really getting angry at me now. So we drew a line up the middle of this thing, and the scatter plots, the data points, don't actually fall anywhere along this line. Okay. So I don't have to be an expert in stats just by looking at this diagram. Now, fine, it's only 30 data points. Maybe it would look different with 300 data points, but I would argue probably not, right? Mm-hmm. So 30 data points, unless there's something else weird happening in your business at that time, is probably good enough, okay? So they track this thing for a month, these 30 data points. So, Jed, you're looking at them. Do these things look even remotely? Could you tell a story based on these scatter plots?
Other than there doesn't seem to be any pattern to it at all, it is truly just scattered all over the chart.
Right. So that's exactly the thing. So again, you don't have to be a stats expert to look at this and say, you know what, these things are not correlated.
Right.
Right. Or if they are, it would be very, very loosely. So if you are a stats nerd, you can actually have Excel produce an equation for you. It gives you what's called an R squared. Right. So again, this is only for the people that are into it. So if you've got a high R squared, So, and high would be, so it goes between 0 and 1. So the closer to 1, the higher it would be, right? So if you have 0.9 or 0.95, then that would be highly correlated, meaning that they would be fall into a pattern.
Right.
Right. This one would probably be 0.1, right? Or something like that, because it would be very hard to discern a pattern. So these things are in fact not correlated.
And so you, then that can drive some of the decisions. So this is interesting, but only to the point where it helps inform your next move, for example. So from this move, you might say, well, if whatever issues we are having with production, it's not that machine's fault. So we're not going to go spend an inordinate, easy for me to say, amount of time trying to figure out that machine. The issue could exist elsewhere in the chain.
Right. And you know what? That's exactly good for you, Jed. You're not you're a liberal arts guy and you figured this out. So if you can do it, anybody can, right?
No,
so,
no kidding.
Yeah. So the that's exactly what happened in this particular case, right? They were pretty sure that the correlation between this particular machine and production was quite high. They tracked it, and they actually tracked it for more than 30 days. I just used the first 30 days here. Nevertheless, they tracked it for 90 days and came up with the same result. They're not actually correlated. So that forced them to go back and look elsewhere in the business for where their bottleneck might be. And lo and behold, it was another piece of equipment that they hadn't even looked at.
So they saved themselves a ton of time and money in the end, because they weren't focusing on what was not the problem.
Yeah. So, okay. And so a replacement for this machine would be $2.5 million, right? So they were quite ready to go out and buy another one of these machines because they just didn't think they had enough capacity. They opted not having to do that, right? So they saved themselves by doing just a tiny little bit of stats, right? They saved themselves $2.5 million. Not bad for a day's work.
Well done, Bob.
Hey, yeah. Well, I wish it was my success. It was theirs. But anyway, nevertheless.
Well, you helped them find it, so I'm sure you're rewarded handsomely.
Oh, yes.
All right. You have another one that's sort of the opposite of what we saw here, that there was no correlation, just so people can understand how to leverage that. So there's another chart that you have that's the exact opposite of this in terms of there is a trend you can see.
Right. Okay. So again, if you're following along in the video, you'll see it. If you're not following along, what you see is that what you've got is you've got some numbers along the horizontal axis. That's the temperature outside. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this was an example that came out of the UK. So it's done in Celsius. Okay. So for those following in the United States, you're going to say, well, wait a second, the difference between 15 and 35 degrees doesn't seem like a lot. Well, it is in Celsius. Okay.
That's pretty damn cold.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, when you get to 35 degrees Celsius, it's pretty darn warm out, right? So especially in the UK. So on the vertical axis, what you've got is you've got units of soft drink sales. So again, if you're listening in the United States, that would be soda pop. Okay, so soft drink sales, Coca-Cola, right, or some other version. What this shows is that there's a very direct, this is real data again, this is a very direct correlation between the temperature outside and the volume of soft drinks or soda that you sell. Mm-hmm. Right? So what can I use this for? Well, interestingly, again, this is, 30 data points. And very interestingly, what you can do by this is you can actually predict, if you know what the temperature is going to be tomorrow, you can predict how many units of whatever soft drink this is you would sell, right? Mm. So I've seen this used in, I used to know somebody that worked at the Dairy Queen, right? And so it's the same thing here. Their ice cream sales were highly dependent on what the temperature is going to be out.
Right.
And so they could schedule their labor or schedule other things based on what they think the temperature is going to be. So they did this sort of in the back of a napkin. Well, we think, well, it's going to be pretty hot tomorrow. We better bring in an extra person, right? But if you did it this way, there's actually an equation. And the good folks at Microsoft and Excel have actually given you the ability to just punch the equation in. So again, there is an equation if you're looking at it in the video. Don't worry about the numbers. Just worry about the fact that what it allows you to do is say, okay, the temperature tomorrow is going to be 22 degrees Celsius, which is 70 degrees Fahrenheit, right? So fairly warm, not really hot, but fairly warm. So based on that number, I punch 22 and it tells me how many units of soft drink I'm going to sell based on the historical average.
Mm,
it's pretty sexy, huh?
Well, I can see it using for, like you suggested, for labor in terms of how much help you need in order to manage the business. If you could look out a bit further, you could use it for inventory controls in some situations.
Yep.
And this is a silly example, not so silly, I suppose, but a somewhat interesting example of just temperature and sales. But obviously, any two data points you can use depending on what kinds of things influence your particular business.
Right. Now, here's the fun part. Okay, so in the old days, before Microsoft Excel, you used to have to get out your stats book and draw the parabolic curves and all the other stuff. And you truly had to be a math genius to figure this out.
Yeah.
Now what you do is you go to the top where it says tools, add trend line, You know, display equation done. You can literally do this in 10 seconds.
Now, can you do three variables? So if I got temperature, I got sales, and I want to say day of the week too, because I'm imagining I'm selling more on the more ice cream at Dairy Queen on Saturday than I am on Wednesday.
Right. Yeah, actually, you can do that, but that's for another podcast, Jed.
Oh, okay. Cool.
No, I mean, what you could do there is, again, is that you could do two of these. You know what I mean? Like do one for temperature and one for day of the week.
Yeah.
But there is a way to add like a Z-axis if you're, or a Z-axis, right? So X, you know, there's X, Y, and then it's a little statistically a little bit more complicated.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to throw you a curveball, but just
you
trying
threw
to
me
out.
Off, Jed.
All right. Let's talk about the different kinds of correlations. So we've had an example here too of a real tight correlation and one that was more scattered and there didn't seem to be any discernible correlation.
Right. So this is, again, you can the best way to do these is to eyeball them, right? But if you want to know what the stats nerds will tell you, okay, so you've got a positive correlation, which is the one I just showed you. Okay, so that's one that is the numbers are all very tightly patterned and they go from the southwest corner to the northeast corner. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you've got that same pattern, but the dots are a little bit wider dispersed, then you call that a possible positive correlation.
Okay.
Okay. The very first one I showed you, where you got a whole bunch of scatter plots on a diagram and there's no discernible pattern, that'd be no correlation.
Yeah.
Okay. Conversely, if you've got one that's sort of loosely, you can sort of see a pattern that goes from, say, northwest to southeast. Sorry, is that right? Yes. Northwest to southeast. Then that would be a possible negative correlation. And then if you've got one that's very tightly patterned along northwest to southeast, then that would be a negative correlation.
Okay, cool.
And that's as deep into the stats as we're going to get today.
If you're a real nerd about it, you have to go listen somewhere else for more deeper data.
Yes, and I can provide some dirt as to where to go if that's of help.
Okay, cool. So I think as we've sort of talked through this, we have an idea, a potential idea as to how this gets done. But maybe before we end the podcast, talk a bit more about how you get to the scatter diagram itself.
Okay, so go get yourself some data. Okay, so and again, I've used in both these ones, I've used 30 data points, which is good. Again, if you got 300, that's probably better. But don't wait till you have 300 to get her done. Yeah. Second, you drop it into a spreadsheet, right? So you've got two variables. You put one in one column, one in the other column. Then you ask the Excel gods to make you a scatter graph. And it's as easy as, can I have a scatter graph, please? Right?
So voice recognition?
Almost. Yeah. No, you can a scatter. It's one of the drop-down options for building charts, right? So then again, you go into your tools bar, you ask for a trend line and you ask for an equation. It's really that easy. Again, this would 20 years ago, 15 years ago, this would take days to do and you can do it in seconds now.
Wow. Thank you, Microsoft.
Thank you. Yes.
All right, Sarah, why don't we talk about three things?
One, two, three.
Okay, three things to remember. Well, remember, there's always lies, damn lies, and stats, as they say. So you need to keep your mind open to the fact that there are if you go looking for a certain answer, you can almost certainly find data to support it. So keep your mind open.
Okay.
Yep.
Number two.
This is easy. So you know, it's quite possible I've made it seem more difficult than it actually is, but this is actually really easy to do. All you need is a few data points. You play around in Excel for a few minutes, you can get it done.
Interesting. And number three.
If you're a liberal arts grad, Jed, and you just can't seem to get it done.
Which is me, again. Yeah.
Well, actually, it's me too. So I say this in somewhat jest. But nevertheless, you know, you can find somebody in your office or somebody in your network that's – you don't have to be even that good at Excel to get this done. But go find somebody to help you.
Once they show you once, you should be able to be – you should be fine after that on your own.
This is really easy.
And I'm going to add a fourth thing, if I can, Bob. I think it's, you know, it's interesting to do the scatter diagram. More interesting to know what to do with the data after you've seen it.
Yeah, that's a real good one. So there's your four things for your three things.
A bonus thing.
You betcha. And we have a new gift for podcast listeners. If you haven't picked off some of our other ones, is that every one of our podcasts is accompanied by a cheat sheet available to members. And so we've bundled some of our most popular cheat sheets in this collection called Be a Mentor, Not a Micromanager.
Mm.
You can get that at www.wileymanager.com.
And for this particular one, you don't have to be the member. You can just go get it?
Yes, you can. This is free. Just go to our homepage and pick it off.
Awesome. So there you go. Membership benefit for nothing.
There you go.
All right. Go check it out, wileymanager.com. Alternatively as well, let us know on Facebook. Friend us on Facebook and let us know what kinds of questions, what kind of challenges you're having as a leader. Perhaps Bob and I can discuss it in an upcoming podcast.
Right on.
Thanks, Bob.
See you then.